In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, we had big plans. We were excited to celebrate a service with children at the center, and it turns out that at Trinity Cathedral, if you are under the age of 10 or even 12, there is a 90% chance that you are on the last vacation of the summer. And don't worry, Trinity, it is not just you on our block. It turns out we are collecting Amazon packages for every house on the block, because everybody is out and about. So next time, we'll think a little bit more about school schedules and be a little bit wiser. However, we still prepared music and we still prepared a homily for an intergenerational vibe. And so if you'd like to come forward, we would welcome you there. Or if you just want to be a little bit closer, all of that is okay too. Because the story of Jesus walking on the water is really a story for all of us, isn't it? You can tell it's intergenerational because I'm using props. All right. So, those of you with recent experience of being around, come on up, Dylan. We'd love to have you. Oh, and someone I haven't met yet. Georgie. Hi, Georgie. Well, could we just get a big ooh and ah for Georgie, who we welcome now? Ooh, George. So blessings, Natalia and Cade. I am so excited for you all. And Georgie, woohoo! All right. Boy, this is turning into an altar call already, isn't it? Those of you with recent or not so recent experience of having children in the house or nearby or just hanging out with them may be familiar with a game called The Floor is Lava. Fair that one? It doesn't take a lot of mental horsepower to play this one. All you need is to be in a room that has a good base. That would be a couch or a bed. I'm using the platform here and the cushions. And you look out and you change your imagination of the floor. The floor, which is supposed to be stable, which is supposed to be safe, is suddenly anything but. And you imagine that anything that is not the platform that you are on, or the bed or the couch, or perhaps a cushion that you've placed around, is now lava, and therefore not particularly safe. And so the way you kind of move around is you sort of jump from platform to platform, cushion to cushion, and maybe you get a little playful and you lose your balance and you fall off, and it's great because you burn up in a hail of fire right in front of everybody. But you don't really, of course, because it's just a game. Because what would happen if the floor was actually lava? The game would be pretty short. It wouldn't last very long. And I would say that your feelings around all of a sudden the ground not being safe, in fact being very dangerous, you're probably going to be filled with fear. And that would be a reasonable thing to feel. You should be afraid of lava. It is not good for you. You're not likely to do very well. When Jesus walks on the water, in the midst of that great storm, Jesus showed to the disciples, I don't think he was showing off, but what happened was they saw him for who he was, and they were struck to the core and saw and said, truly, this is the Son of God. They saw Jesus as the Messiah. But for Peter, it was a little bit different. When Peter then got out of the boat, I'm not going to do it yet because it's scary. When Peter got out of the boat, it was a little bit more like the floor is lava, but in real life. He was really taking a risk, wasn't he? Now, this story is really a story about fear. Because think about what was happening in that moment. There was a great storm. The disciples They are fishermen. They went out to do what they do almost every day of the year. They went out onto the boat, into the water. Now, they knew what to do when they're out on the water, but they also knew, because they made their living in a boat fishing, they knew perfectly well how dangerous a storm could really be. We know just a little bit in Northeast Ohio how fast a storm can come up out of nowhere, and we have technology telling us it might be coming. But those disciples knew, they didn't know when it could come, but when it came, and it was a big one, and the waves were getting bigger and bigger, and the winds and the masts were rattling, they knew that they were suddenly in great danger. And they knew what storms could do, and they felt afraid. I think we all know a little something about being in the midst of storms, don't we? When suddenly there is not steady ground, where suddenly we are vulnerable, we feel exposed, we feel like any wrong step, any step is filled with risk, and we don't know what's going to happen, and we become filled with fear. Now, if you're a sailor and you're out on the lake and the storms come up, you have good reason to be afraid. If for some reason you are around an actual pit of lava, and I don't know why you'd be doing that, but if you were, fear would be a really good instinct. But we tend to fear a lot of things beyond that. Now, you know, this would be a great time for all those little ones to tell us what they're afraid of. Georgie, what are you afraid of right now? Absolutely nothing, and it's wonderful. But let me ask all of us, what fills us with fear? What scares us? Politics scare me too, yes. War. Climate. The economy. What's that? Health. One's health. Yeah. These are all real. These are all real. But Jesus walks through the storm. He walks through the storm, and he appears before the disciples because he wanted to calm them. I think he wanted them to know that while the storm is real, and there are absolutely things that will fill us with fear and that we should be attentive to. I think as he walked through and he said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." He wanted to calm their fears because while, yes, there are storms, the things we are afraid of may not be as important as we think they are in that very moment. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Well, Peter, though, does everybody one better and decides he wants to jump in and says, "Lord, if it is you," remember how afraid everybody was. It's a story about fear. They were afraid of the storm. They saw this person coming through and they were afraid that it was a ghost. Peter is feeling good. And he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me, let me know, and I will come out onto the water to be with you." Now, we know how the story ends, and Peter once again gets kind of a bad rap because we say, "Oh, Peter, you of little faith." How many of us have tried to step out onto the water to walk towards Jesus? It's a pretty bold choice that he made, but there was something about this. In that very moment, Jesus saw Peter, and it was all that he could think about. And so he steps forward. I'm trying to imagine sort of what this is going to look like, because all of a sudden, as he steps in, they all know what's really going to happen. And they watch his foot, and all of a sudden, that isn't what happens. And he takes another step. And that isn't what happened. How is he walking? How is he doing this? I think somehow Peter was able to forget to be afraid. He didn't sit there and sort of bring up his courage, right? This wasn't a moment of bravery. He didn't grit his teeth. He didn't think about how can I be brave enough to do this and show off. He just jumped in and he did it. And there was something about this moment of total vulnerability that for Peter meant in that moment absolute presence. He looked at Jesus and his heart was filled with love. And all he could think about was stepping out of the boat and walking towards him. It was as if the storm itself, you know, when you're in actual danger, suddenly your situational awareness is really heightened. I think that happened. And I think Peter was so aware of the moment, and then he sees Jesus, that he simply walks out, and he did it. He was able to do it because he forgot to be afraid. And there he was, and what happened? Peter is human, and he remembered how to be afraid. And he started to kind of sink down a little bit. You know, imagine the water getting up just above his ankles and maybe up above his, up towards his knees. Now, I think there's something to that. The story could have said Peter just sort of kept running around like it was a lily pad and it was great. Or the story could have said Peter just splashed down like it was a big dunk tank. That's not what happened. Peter began to sink. You could almost see it happening in real time. And what that made me think, it's like our life is this tension between faith and fear. There's always things to be afraid of, always weighing on our hearts, and there's always this invitation to forget about that, even if just for a moment, and follow where God might be calling us to go. And most moments, we're in a little bit of both places. And I think that might have been what was happening for Peter. That was a tension that kept him not quite at the surface, but also not completely splashing down either, while he was still kind of believing that could happen. Because what did happen is, as he started to walk, he started to sink down a little bit more and a little bit more. And it happened because the gospel tells us he began to notice the wind and he was afraid. Well, I'm sure that happened, but I think he might have noticed a little bit something else. I think Peter went from being fully present to the presence of Jesus and wanting to move towards him to, well, let's just say self-conscious. I think Peter started walking and did what many of us would do, certainly what I would do, which is to say, I am walking on water. Whoa, I am walking on water. Is everybody getting this? Can you guys see this? This is great. And he became a little more aware of himself, and then suddenly he became aware of the storms. And he realized the situation that he was actually in. And he began to sink. Jesus swoops in, picks him up, brings him into the boat. And as he gets into the boat, the waters begin to calm, and the disciples are absolutely amazed at what has happened. I think it is a tall order to ask ourselves to hop out onto the water and start walking. We all know that because of this powerful tension between faith and fear and the lives that we live. But I do think it is enough to simply invite Jesus into the boat with us so that we can be calm in the midst of those storms that are very real, and even watch as those storms begin to settle. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus walked through the storm so that he could be with his friends and calm their fears. He wanted them, I think, to forget that they were even afraid. Because if they could do that, then their hearts would be made more able to love. And they might even be made ready to walk on the water. Amen.